Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I am your host, Ken Mulman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. We're going to change the format up a little bit tonight just because we are talking 100% about the upcoming primary on Tuesday. I'm fascinated, absolutely fascinated, by the math and the races. And if I've never explained it to you before, at my core, I'm a math guy. I look at the math of these races, and I try to apply. Elections are really interesting to me because it's math, but there's psychology behind that math. What is it that makes people come out and vote? What is it that makes people do what they do? And how does that translate into votes? And, I think that that's going to be part of the theme tonight because there's a handful of interesting races that I've been following personally. And certainly if you have a race that you've been following, more than welcome to join in and give us a call because, obviously I can't watch every race. I mean, good gracious, there's a lot of races going on. So, I can't see every race. I don't know what's going on everywhere. But, definitely know the big races and the races up here in northern Kentucky. I know a couple of others around the state. And so we're interested in your opinion and predictions, for that matter. The over-under on different races and whatnot. I'll tell you, there are some races that have been pretty darn obvious to me. And some good friends of mine and I have made a bet. I had one in 2008 and one in 2012 make bets with me over who would win the presidency. And I will say that I am 2 for 2 in that, and I have the $5 that I won off of each of them as a trophy in my wallet that I show them every time we have a political disagreement. I don't let them live that down. But I'll tell you, these races are different. And it's interesting, a lot of this is going to come out the turnout. And nobody really knows turnout. Nobody ever really knows the turnout. But, there isn't a whole lot of polling in these smaller races. And I don't know. I think that it's very interesting. And in many ways, a lot of times the primary decides who's going to be the person, especially up here in northern Kentucky where – most of the time, you end up with just Republicans running. Now, in Campbell County, they do have a decent slate of Democrats, and we do have one Libertarian that's seeking office there. But in Kenton and Boone counties, the Democrats only ran one candidate in each county. And in Kenton County, we have one Libertarian running as well. And in Boone County, we actually have 5 or 6 Libertarians. I should know that number off the hand, but I believe it's 5. Local candidates running in Boone County and as Libertarians. And so it's interesting because in many ways, in races that either for political reasons or because no one even bothered to jump in, there are a lot of races that are going to be decided this coming Tuesday. There are a lot of races that you'll know who the next whatever they are will be based on who wins the primary on Tuesday. And I think that's unfortunate. The primary system in general, I'm not necessarily opposed to the primaries on their face. What I'm opposed to personally is that I have to fund them. I don't like the fact that taxpayers to pay the bill for what is essentially an internal party selection process. I'm not a huge fan of open primaries. And I say that because you can have some real shenanigans go on. If you remember back in 2008, Rush Limbaugh was calling it, I think it was called Operation Chaos. I can't remember now. I think that was the name. Where he encouraged Republicans to vote Democrat in the Democratic primary in Ohio, because at that point, Hillary was running away with it. Hillary Clinton was running away with the race. And he encouraged people to flip over to Democrat, to vote for Barack Obama, in order to keep the drama alive, to try to make there be disunity on the Democrat side. Now, we all know how that turned out, right? I mean, that did extend it, and in fact, it made it so that Obama became, and I really don't like the idea of people pulling those sorts of shenanigans. As one who is deeply involved in the Libertarian Party, I would not be very appreciative if the Democrats or Republicans or, you know, whoever decided to interfere in our internal selection process, a process that, by the way, we do not get tax dollars for, nor do we want tax dollars for. But I do see the point that if we're going to pay for the primaries, and we all pay for them, they're taken out of taxpayer funds to the tune of about $7 million every cycle, every election. So it's $7 million for the primary and then $7 million for the general. Then maybe we should be allowed to participate. Maybe we should have open primaries if we're going to have taxpayer funding for those primaries, because otherwise what we have today is the otherwise is essentially corporate welfare. We are propping up the entities known as the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And I obviously philosophically I'm 100% opposed to corporate financing or corporate welfare, excuse me, taxpayer dollars, and especially opposed when an ever-growing percentage of Kentuckians are ineligible, granted by choice, but ineligible to actually take part in the primary process. We're quickly approaching 10% of the state that's registered is registered as something other than Democrat or Republican. And as those numbers continue to go up, one must ask the question, is there a good reason, is it good public policy to continue to fund private party functions? My answer to that is no. And really, it's no matter what. There's really no reason to ever fund these things. Political parties, especially the bigger ones, are awash with cash. If you could only see the comparisons between the Democrats, Republicans, and Libertarian Party, we managed to do our internal selection process for a lot cheaper, and again, without asking the taxpayers to fund it. I am quite sure that Democrats and Republicans would be able to fund their process as well. And I see we have somebody that wants to talk about this. I'm going to bring them on the line. Caller, you're on the air.
Ken, hi. This is Paul Holliger calling from Louisville.
Yes, Paul. How you doing, sir?
You are touching upon a topic near and dear to my heart, buddy.
Yeah.
Tax money out of funding political party processes. The state of Iowa does a caucus system, and the parties in Iowa have to organize their selection process precinct by precinct, district by district, and they actually have potluck dinners and all of that good old hometown, down home kind of stuff in an effort to get that done. And to the best of my knowledge, there's not one penny of taxpayer money spent process in Iowa. And I'm with you on trying to find a way to take the tax money out of the political, the partisan selection process. I think a good case could be made for the general election to have a taxpayer funded, but the party primaries, no, not at all, not at all.
Yeah, and in fact, Paul, in the Libertarian Party, as one who's been deeply involved for a while now, The Iowa caucus model is what we as a party are moving toward, because we don't want to have taxpayer funding being used to fund our party. And it is a model that works. I mean, they nominate people all the time. And so it's a model that, while it may be able to be improved or might need to be tweaked specific to Kentucky, it's at least a good groundwork, a good base framework from which to build a tax-free nomination process that is dealt with entirely internally. If they're going to close the process, then they should also have closed funding. It should be funded internally.
I'm 100% in agreement with that, particularly since I'm actually what is called a registered independent, or Kentucky refers to me as no party preference voter. I am forbidden from voting in the Democrat or Republican primary, unlike in Indiana, where they don't require you to declare a party when you register to vote. You go to the primaries over there, and you can select a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or whatever other party ballot might be available during the primary. So while Indiana's, again, is kind of sort of funding the party system, it appears, at least on the surface, to be much better than the system that Kentucky uses. Hey, I do have a question I want to run by you, because I know from having talked with you off the air that you have a degree of expertise in methods that could be used to challenge the party system in Kentucky.
Yes.
This coming Tuesday, I, as an independent, will be able to go to my polling place and basically get a ballot and choose among judges, okay? And technically, they say that those races are nonpartisan, but you know the strict dictionary definition of nonpartisan means that you don't participate in a partisan activity. Well, the vast majority of the judicial candidates have actually registered as being a partisan. So that's an interesting concept, and I'm that plus whether or not I need to go and actually request a Democrat or Republican ballot to gain standing to perhaps challenge this a little bit later in circuit court. Have you all done any research on that particular tactic in order to get this issue up to the Kentucky Supreme Court?
I haven't done anything specifically on that, and I want to take a quick tangent here just to remind listeners that may be registered as something other than a Democrat or Republican, to remind them that you do need to look to see if there's a judge race being decided in the primary. If it's a more than a two-way race, only two get through the primary. And so that is open to everyone. And when you go in, tell them that you're registered as an other and that you need the nonpartisan judicial ballot. They will look at you funny. They will probably ask someone else for help, and then they will give you your ballot.
You're right about that, Jim.
Yeah, trust me, I know. And so the point is that it is still important. Now, these judges, and this has been evolving over time. You know, it used to be that the parties had to stay away from the judges and judges had to stay away from parties. And here just in the last few years, there's been some court rulings in the other direction that basically, while judges are technically a nonpartisan race, they can associate with parties and parties can, you know, say, hey, this is the judge we want you to vote for. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm always in favor of getting more information, right? I think that that's always a good thing, to have additional information, especially in these goofy judge races where they can't tell you where they stand on anything. I mean, that's the weirdest part about our system, electing judges. They're not allowed to tell you where they stand. How am I supposed to make a rational decision?
Yeah, Kentucky law really makes it difficult to do an objective analysis of judicial candidates. I honestly think that that is at least – mostly by design. I don't think that they want to have the judges held up or judicial candidates held up to that kind of scrutiny. But technically speaking, Ken, if we were to go by the strict definition of the term nonpartisan, then almost none of these people on the ballot for Tuesday would be able to be on the ballot, but I could be on the ballot because I truly have not chosen any political affiliation. So that I think would be cool. I, in fact, I was not completely aware of the rulings that say that judges can, in fact, start kind of being associated with parties. Actually, I think that is getting closer to truth in advertising. Again, they may run without a party designation, but they are partisan as determined by their voter registration. They're partisan, almost every single one of them.
You're absolutely correct. So, most judge candidates are registered under some party because, you know, the system punishes you. I mean, that's basically what we're dealing with here, Paul. You know, it's our money. You and I, it's tax money, right? You're my tax money being spent to fund party operations, and we don't get the benefit of that. And so we are basically penalized for not being a Democrat or Republican. And as a result, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people that, especially now, you know, there's this poll that just came out that said that 53% of Americans don't associate with Democrats or Republicans as far as they don't think they represent what they believe. Yet the voter registration rolls are nowhere close to 53% nonpartisan. You know, here in Kentucky, it's still under 10% statewide. And why is that? Because the system discourages people from being independent because we pay for the primaries. It's extremely frustrating to me that the system tries to corral people down a path.
And you being a libertarian, you've got, and for that matter, any other third party, Kentucky's rules make it almost impossible to get a ballot position. I think that they have got, is it a 20% of the popular vote or some ridiculously high percentage in order to become a recognized party on the ballot? And if you stop and do the math, unlike California, which has, you know, more than a dozen different parties that appear on the ballot, Kentucky, by statute, would actually prevent more than probably seven or eight parties from ever being officially recognized the way the statutes are written, because you have to get a certain percentage in the presidential. Yeah, just the math alone.
Right.
Just the math alone. So.
Yeah, and actually the way it works here in Kentucky, it's all based off of the presidential race, which of course is the most controversial race, right, and the biggest money race. And your candidate for president, we have what's called a three-tier system. So your candidate for president has to hit 2% in order just to get ballot access. That keeps you from having to do the ridiculous 25 to 5,000 signatures while your Democrat or Republican counterparts only have to get 2 signatures.
Oh, like you had to do.
Actually,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's so much fun, let me tell you. and it's a huge distraction. It's meant to keep people out. That's the whole point. And they'll tell you that. They'll say it's to keep frivolous candidates off the ballot. Well, what's frivolous? You know, define frivolous for me. Did I have to? I spent most of my campaign cash just getting on the ballot. I'm quite sure I could have run a much better campaign had I not had to spend 90% of my campaign money on just getting on the ballot.
But see, that's a specious argument, Ken. And of course, I'm telling you something you already
know.
But for the benefit of your listeners, if it was frivolous, then why does one of the states with one of the world's largest economies, California, allow all kinds of parties ballot access? I mean, if it can work in one of the world's largest economies, it can work here if the will was there. But in this case here, as former Governor and now State Senator Julian Carroll once told Michael Lewis in the halls of Frankfurt, if you want a party, we'll get you a party.
Yeah,
he did that on a CNN interview, which was embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, whenever we're in the news, it seems like we're getting embarrassed. I don't know if you saw, it was kind of a viral video about this Senate race. And we had, I saw this yesterday or the day before for the first time. It's an HBO thing. So the guy who filled in for Jon Stewart when he was gone off The Daily Show now has a show of his own on HBO. And, of course, being on HBO, it's completely and totally not safe for human consumption. But it was funny. But basically, you know, the whole point of it was to point out how, first of all, politics has had a terrible low. But they're talking that this race here in Kentucky this year, this Senate race, may be the most expensive Senate race in the country, talking about $100 million being dropped into Kentucky in this race just to hold a seat that pays, what, $175,000, maybe with all the chairmanships or whatever, maybe it's $300,000 a year, that adds up to $1.8 million. You're spending there's going to be $100 million spent for a $1.8 million job? I mean, that's crazy. That's a ridiculous amount of money. And, of course, it's not about that. You know, it's the power, of course. But
it's about the power of the party. You're exactly right. It's the party wants to hang on to that power, and the rest of us be damned.
And that really is the key, is that, you know, there are certain people, and this I want to try to turn this back to the core of where I was trying to go with the show tonight, is, you know, there's a lot of races out there where, you know, you've got an incumbent that's part of the power structure versus a challenger that is not. And for that matter, there are a couple of races where the challengers won the last time around, and now the power structure behind the scenes is trying to retake control. And I want to encourage people to, if you're registered as a Democrat or Republican, to really take a look at who are these people? Who are they connected to? What is it that they're trying to do? What is it that they have done? If they're somebody new, try to find out who they would govern like. You know, what type of people do they hang out with? What type of people do they associate with? Try to be an informed voter, because, as I said, a lot of these races are going to be decided on Tuesday. And, you know, we've got a real we're 8 years into a recession. Kentucky, we just lost like 15% of our automotive jobs about a few weeks ago here. And with a Toyota moving out to Texas, part of their operations. And, you know, we got a lot of problems. You know, I just saw a thing that said that the pension system's only funded 23%. You know, where's that money going to come from? We have some really tough things that are going to be facing us very soon. Things that if they had faced them 30 years ago, back in the 80s, when they knew it was going to be a problem, wouldn't have been so bad. But they kicked the can down the road and kicked the can down the road. Now the can's all tore up and tattered and, you know, it's got some sharp edges, and you kick it and you get bloody. And that's where we're at now. It's to the point where you can't kick it any further down the road. Or you can, but it's going to get even worse, right? I mean, it gets exponentially worse the longer you ignore a problem. And so these races are important in everything. From the federal races, which obviously we all hear a lot about. Oh, my gosh, I just got yet another robocall from McConnell right before the show. We need your support on Tuesday. Yeah, thanks, Mitch. Actually, I would say the more important races are the local ones. You know, your county and city governments have a lot of say-so over what's going on in your community, and that all ends up actually building into things like the pension, right? If you've got somebody that wants to hire 20 people, well, that's 20 more people in the pension system. That stuff all ties together.
I think that you really hit upon the meaningful way to get the boys and girls in Frankfort and then beyond Frankfort in Washington to start paying attention. We've got to take command of these local offices.
Yeah.
If we can get control of them, that will send a monster-sized signal to the boys and girls in Washington as well as the boys and girls in Frankfort here in Kentucky. And it will actually begin to scare them to death. I mean, we've seen time and time again where some of these entrenched politicians, when they feel threatened, they will do whatever it takes to retain their power, including change their position. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm all in favor of your advocacy of getting local offices dealt with people who will do the job, do it well for the benefit of all and not just for the benefit of a party.
Yes. And make no mistake, the local elections are really, I really firmly believe that's where it's at. They're winnable races. They're small enough. You can go out and meet every voter face-to-face, look them in the eye, shake their hand and say, listen, this is who I am. You know, and I hope you'll support me. Those are winnable races. You can overcome, the odds in those types of races. The real problem is these big races, my gosh, there's so much darn money. It's ridiculous. I mean, really $100 million in the U.S. Senate race this year in Kentucky. I mean, it's crazy. It's 50 times more than what the job's going to pay over the next 6 years, if not more than that. People govern for the wrong reasons. There's little political fiefdoms everywhere. And, yeah, we do need principled leaders who will stand up and do the right thing and engage the public and be true public servants, which is what our elected officials are supposed to be. So, well, Paul, you seem to have disappeared on me. There you are.
No, I'm still here. I actually
listened. That's all right. Okay. Hey, well, we're at the bottom of the hour anyway, Paul. If you want to hang on through the break, I'm going to put you back on hold. I see that co-host Dave is in the queue as well. And
cool.
When we come back, if you all want to make the calls, and actually in the second half I want to get into predicting some of these races and talking about a few that interest me. If you have something that interests you, folks, call in after the break here at area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, and we're back. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network. We're here live every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and we do appreciate when people call in. We do have some callers. We've got co-host Dave who joins the show, and Paul returns, so I'm going to bring them back on here. Guys, I want to talk about the McConnell-Bevin race because, you know, this has been quite a bit of media, obviously, and a lot of money, you know, a lot of outside money. And that's, you know, getting back to that $100 million that they're talking about for this race, most of the money is coming from out of state. And for that matter, in the primary, most of the money has come from out of state. And I don't know. I'm interested in your all's thoughts. Or do you have any handicapping on this? Paul, let's let you go first.
Well, being a Jefferson County resident, we get a vast amount of advertising to the local media. And also being an independent, I don't have a dog in this fight, but right now I think Matt has gotten some awfully bad advice all along the way in terms of his campaign advisors. He's been just recently running some ads he actually should have started off with, and that is an ad that I classify as a, you know, get to know me kind of an ad. He just now started running those kinds of ads, which is amazing. You know, those kind of ads you should run at the beginning, you know, when you launch. But he's just terribly outspent. He doesn't have the network. He has been tagged with a whole bunch of labels that he just hasn't been able to shake. I'm going to be surprised if there isn't a 20 to 30 point win by McConnell in that race. I'm going to be shocked if there isn't that, if it isn't that large.
All right, I'm writing it down. 20 to 30 points. Dave, what are your thoughts?
Well, honestly, my thoughts about the McConnell-Bevin race is just I'm flabbergasted. That's the way to describe my feelings on that race. I can't believe that anybody's going to vote for McConnell. But, I mean, I know it's going to happen, right? You know, but every time I hear it and I see the numbers and everything, I'm like, what? Really?
Yeah.
And the other, yeah, and, you know, to be fair, I don't know that much about Bevin. The one thing that keeps cropping up, you know, that I see about Bevin is that McConnell attack ad about, you know, Bevin's alleged, you know, activity in cockfighting, right?
Right.
And so that, when every time I see that, I have the biggest belly laugh. You know, it works out to my favor. I mean, it's probably making me a little bit younger because I'm getting so many laughs, you know, about it. But I keep thinking, you know, this is an attack ad from McConnell, who, you know, is running for the position that he's been in for a while, and his allegation is that Bevin was, you know, allegedly involved in cockfighting, and that is exactly the job that McConnell has done in his position, and he's running for it again. But he's got an attack ad out negatively saying that he's, you know, that Bevin, his challenger, is involved in cockfighting.
It's like, yeah,
how does this not work out in his favor with your audience?
Well, and so I actually agree 100% with both of you guys. I think Bevin had an opportunity. I think he stumbled from the gate. had slow momentum, started to pick up steam, made a mistake, momentum stopped. Then the national groups jumped in, started supporting him. He got some momentum, went to a cockfighting rally, and the momentum stopped. I think it's unfortunate for him. I know there's a lot of good people that I know personally that have been supporting Bevan. And, it's nothing against them or anything that they've done. But I think you're right, Paul. I think this race is over. And I'm thinking it's a 20-point race personally.
I like Dave's point about the cockfighting comparison. Kind of reminds me of a few years ago when a statewide office holder by the name of Jack Conway decided that he was going to try to sully the reputation of Rand Paul with the Aqua Buddha thing. And we saw right. that just absolutely did not work. In fact, in many cases, I think it probably backfired on Jack. And I'm thinking that Aqua Buddha thing is going to be draped around Jack's neck in the next election cycle for the next office he's chosen to run for. So it should be fun.
Yeah, that's a whole other race. I mean, the gubernatorial race, all the executive branch stuff starts next year, so we get to do silly season all over again. Dave, did you have any prediction numbers-wise on McConnell Bevan, or do you just want to stay out of that?
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that I do have is an extreme amount of faith in the human capability of change, to the positive. And so I'm going to say that McConnell's going to win by about 8 points.
All right. We got Dave down here at 8 points.
I have more faith in humanity than you guys do, I guess.
You have more faith in Republican primary voters, I guess, anyway. So, I it just amazes me. Everybody, he's got a 60% unfavorability rating, yet he's going to be the Republican nominee, which, is dangerous for Republicans, I think, because the last person to run with a 60% unfavorability rating was David Williams in the 2011 race. And surprise, surprise, he lost by about 20 points. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting race to watch all the way through. And I hope my friends that are listening that are Bevan supporters don't think I'm doing this as a knock on Bevan. I just, just my honest analysis, I would be surprised, but it would probably be a pleasant surprise, I guess, if things turn out a little differently. Paul, you're going to have to help me handicap this one here with Moffitt and May. I haven't been able to watch a whole lot because I'm not down there in Louisville. I've been watching some of the stuff on CN2 and some of the statewide media. What's that race handicapping out? Are you able to give us an idea of what's going on there?
I'm not really on the handicapping, but I will tell you that race is not garnering as much local media as one might think, because Shelley May being the former head of the Jefferson County Republican Party, and David Moffitt actually getting torpedoed, if you will, by a Jefferson County clerk by the name of Bobby Hoscall when he was trying to get the gubernatorial nomination for the party. Phil Moffitt is a really good quality candidate, and Shelley May is a party hack. Make no mistakes about that. She is clearly a Republican Party hack. Having said that, our friend Ed Springsteen believes that Shelley was put into an impossible position when she was put in that position. And I'm going to defer to him a little bit on that, but Shelley got the job because of her husband, John, who was at one time Jefferson County PVA. So, again, Shelley May represents the Republican establishment at its finest or worst, however you want to look at it. And Phil actually represents the type of change candidate that we really need. But it's not getting much media. It really isn't.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, I haven't seen any polls on that race at all. I have no idea. Just so people know the situation, Phil Moffitt was one of the three gubernatorial candidates that ran in the Republican primary in 2011. Phil got a bunch of flack in the race because he signed my petition because, he only had to get two signatures and I had to get 5,000, and he didn't sign it because he was supporting me. He signed it because he thought that was wrong, that, you know, the disparity. And we ended up removing him so he wouldn't take so much flack. It was just silliness, whatever. By comparison, May was the person that was handing out Red Stars to a handful of folks in Louisville to prevent them from taking part in the precinct elections and whatnot down in Louisville. One of the people is one of the hosts here on the network, Dale the Truth, our Thursday night host, who was specifically Red Starred, put into a separate room, guarded by cops, to prevent him from interfering or in any way participating in the process. And the reason behind it was that he was my friend on Facebook. I mean, that was their logic, was he was my friend on Facebook. And, you know, so I do have a little bit of personal interest in this race, only in that I hope that Moffitt wins because he is a friend of mine, too. Phil is a really smart, really good person, and if you've never met Phil, you should. You know, May has harmed or done harm to personal friends of mine, so that's kind of where I lean. I don't know. You know, I don't know how that's going to turn out. So, turning back up to Northern Kentucky real quick, and I know, Paul, you're not going to have a whole lot to say on this directly, but maybe generally. We've got three counties up here in Northern Kentucky that are generally considered Northern Kentucky. And the judge executive races up here are big races, you know, unlike Louisville where, you know, your judge exec's been neutered by your consolidated government. Our judge execs are still very powerful here, and it's a pretty interesting dynamic. We've got in Campbell County, we've got a rerun of a race that was decided by, I think it was 168 votes 4 years ago. We have in Kenton County, the challenger candidate from 4 years ago that defeated the establishment, if you will, is being challenged by an establishment-appointed person who's running as an outsider against a supposed establishment. It's a very strange race. And in Boone County, you have a guy who's been there for quite a while, and the last I heard, he's actually losing to who is considered a Tea Party challenger. And so it's an interesting dynamic up here. You've got three counties with similar socioeconomic situations that are going three different ways. You've got one that's clearly in Campbell County going for the establishment. You've got one in Kenton County that's neck and neck. And in Boone County, you've got one that the Tea Party challenger is, you know, in the lead, at least he was a few days ago when they did that poll that I saw a few days ago. I guess I want to start with Dave, because, Dave, you're up here. What are your thoughts on this whole mess?
I don't really have a lot to say, honestly, about what happens in the public-funded primaries. You know, I do find it to be interesting. In some ways, it's, you know, pretty good, fun, free entertainment.
Right. Well, it's not free. We all pay for it.
Right.
But.
Right. Well, as an outsider, you know, and not being allowed to participate. Know, at least I get the nosebleed seats, you know. That's what I mean.
Right.
But, you know, I do think that the local races are the most important. I think that anybody, you know, I echo what I said last week. You know, everybody that can vote in the taxpayer-funded primaries that I'm not allowed to vote in should go out and vote. And before they do that, you know, they should you know, at least get to know somebody that they like. And if they don't like anybody and they have that, you know, and they don't like anybody for good reason, you know, they've actually educated themselves, you know, as opposed to, you know, just not liking them because they were told not to or whatever by somebody, by their dad or whatever.
Right.
You know, either go out and vote for the person that you like or, you know, but don't vote for the person that you don't know just because there's somebody that you don't like. You know, if you want to vote for none of the above, you know, which we refer to as NOTA, you know, then vote for NOTA. You know, go in knowing what you know, and, you know, don't, you know, cast your ballot in every race that you know about, and don't, you know, vote in the race that you only know one person and you don't want them to win.
Yeah. Well, and I want to react to that real quick, and then I want to get Paul's thoughts just on the general, you know, interestingness of all these races. You know, I will admit that I went in and voted in an election without knowing what was going on back in 2007. And that caused me to vote for one Richie Farmer, because I thought it was funny that Farmer would be running for Secretary of Agriculture. Not really understanding at the time the importance of that office and, you know, not really paying attention to what I was doing. And I think a lot of people did that. I think that's why he won. And we see how that story ended. So it is important to know who you're voting for. And if it literally is a race between two people that are awful, please don't vote for less awful, slightly less awful. I mean, it doesn't help. It doesn't help to put someone terrible into office. If nothing else, at least if they have a really low vote total, there'll be a story about, wow, that guy only got 100 votes. He won, but he only got 100 votes. You know, maybe that, you know, will send a message to folks that, hey, this guy's weak, and somebody will take a poke at him the next time around. Paul, what are your general thoughts on this? Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Ken, I think that your concern about people voting for just in the dark or blindly, I'm not sure that they're completely borne out. I spent a number of years as a precinct worker, and one of the things I noticed in primaries is that the high-profile races got a whole lot more voters than the low-profile. So I think that there's a decent percentage of people who vote who simply won't vote in races that they don't know anything about the candidates on. I'm not sure what that percentage is, but it is a significant percentage of primary voters won't vote in a race they don't know anything about the people, okay? Now, my concern on that point is more with the general election when we have straight party balloting, but that's another topic for another day.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I think the straight ticket stuff really gets ugly later on, and we can save that for our general election show here. That's only a few months away. I think the whole thing's interesting. My take on this judge exec thing up here with three counties that are pretty similar socioeconomically, fairly similar politically as far as the mindset of the voters, to have such different outcomes, right, where the establishment's winning pretty handily, from my understanding, in one. The Tea Party is winning pretty handily in one, and the others neck and neck. I think that what we're seeing, and I've said this before, is that, you know, we're 8 years into a recession, and people are kind of tired of hearing about the problems. They're tired of negative campaigning. They're tired of hearing the bad stuff. They want to hear some good stuff. What are you going to do? Or what have you done, right, if you're already an incumbent? What have you done that should earn my vote? And I think that's probably accounts for why the disparity. I think that individual campaigns have done better or worse jobs articulating what it is they've done well or not, or what they would do or not. And I think that probably accounts for a lot. You know, this 8-year-long recession, it's a wild card in general. It's going to be an even bigger wild card in the general election, I think. I think this 8-year recession is the number one driver of political flux out there. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. What I was saying before is, you know, you were really echoing, you know, kind of a statement, and Paul, you touched on it too. There are a lot of people that are waking up, so to speak, and, you know, they're not voting in races that they don't know anything about. But there are still a lot of people that do. and so that it's a good message to get out there, you know, not to do that. Don't vote for the lesser of two evils. You know, if that's what you're doing, if that's what you think you're doing, anybody that knows Star Wars, you know, understands the reference. Palpatine was the lesser of two evils.
Right. Right. I just have to say, you know, these races are important, and up here, and I'm sure everywhere in the state, there's a lot of races that are going to be decided in the primary. Take it seriously, please. If you're able to vote in a primary, and there's especially if there's nobody in the general, but even any election should be taken seriously. And there are websites out there. Any campaign these days has a website. If not, they have some sort of campaign phone number, or for that matter, you can try to call the candidate at home. You know, try to find out about what you're doing before you do it, and make an informed choice and do the right thing. And that's a good life lesson in general, to make an informed choice and do the right thing. But I guess that's kind of my point, is that with these primaries, they're important. I mean, I don't like that they're taxpayer-funded. I don't like that the taxpayer money that I'm paying in means that I still don't have a voice. But I do have a small voice. I can encourage people to do the right thing. I can't do the right thing myself, so I guess I will have to live vicariously through the actions of others. I just please take it seriously. That's kind of my point on the whole thing. It is serious. Kentucky has some serious, serious problems, and we need leaders more than anything. We need to get away from these party people that are, oh, well, the party told me to do this, the party told me to do that. Forget that. We need leaders to drive.
Yeah, let me just interject something to kind of reinforce what you're saying. I think a lot of people, when they get into these politics, they're always looking at the high-profile offices, you know.
Yep.
And they say, I want to challenge the incumbent because if I get in that office, I can do a whole lot more good, a whole lot quicker. And I think that has some merit. The problem is, do they have the wherewithal and the fire in the gut to be able to pull it off? And the answer is the vast majority of people do not. They don't have it, and they would do well by focusing on the local races, the smaller offices, to accomplish a couple of things. Number one, to gain experience, okay? Number two, to build networks. That number three can put them in a position down the road to go after these higher profile positions. Along the way, they will be developing their own downline, if you will, to use a sales concept. And if they build their own downline, they are, in essence, building the next generation of leaders to come behind them. So it is a really beneficial process. But I think people just aim way too high too soon. And I think that we need to get back to the grassroots concept, get the grassroots stuff taken care of, and everything else will take care of itself as time unfolds. I really do.
Yeah. I agree 100% on that. I mean, and understand, I've been beating that drum within the Libertarian Party for a few years now. And, you know, most of our candidates are running for very winnable offices. In fact, a handful of our candidates already have won. All they have to do is finish their petition. No one else filed for those particular offices. So they get to get their feet wet. They get their toe in the water to find out, hey, what is this all about? Decide if they really want to go down this route of running for elected office in the long term, or, you know, if there's something else they want to do. They're not huge races, so you can't really screw anything up. So that's a plus. And, you know, there's legitimate people running for these offices. And I would be remiss to mention, or not to mention, that, you know, Dave, co-host Dave here, is running for a constable position in Campbell County.
You are.
And so, you know, it's a winnable small office that does have, in our county, or in the counties up here, I know in Louisville you guys have your own constable problems, but in northern Kentucky, constables do serve a real purpose, and, you know, it can be a very good stepping stone to something more and something that is viable. But even just winning an elected office, even a small one, at least gives you a louder voice. It lets you go out and say, hey, I'm the constable and I believe this, or I'm the magistrate, I believe this, or whatever, right? You're an elected official, and that automatically gives you a microphone. It may not be as big as the U.S. Senate or the U.S. Congress, but it's a microphone. And
well, not only is
it
a microphone,
Ken. I have a little bit of a different point of view on that.
Okay.
I agree with, you know, going for a smaller office for the experience of the election process. Mm-hmm. But where I disagree is, you know, a, quote, smaller office, end quote, in order to get your feet wet by, you know, potentially, you know, doing more at the local level, you know, in a smaller way, you know, first before you go for a bigger office. Because I'm a, you know, I'm not a top-down guy. I'm a bottom-up guy. You know, that's the way that things actually work in the real world. And if we've got somebody that's brand new and green, they're just coming out of the gate, they really don't know what they're doing, and, you know, they want to get their feet wet doing something, I would much rather have that person in, say, U.S. House or U.S. Senate, because they're not going to cause very much damage there. If they're a, quote, small, end quote, you know, office locally, that's where the real power is, and they could do a lot of damage, you know, in their community by not knowing what they're doing in that office. So just kind of a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, but I think that also depends on the office you're running for, too. I mean, you know, running for magistrate in a county that has a commission, you know, all you can do is marry people, right? I mean, and you have to charge $25, no more, no less. You can't mess it up. You can't do it wrong. You don't even have to marry people if you don't want to. So, you know, I think that's – it still gives people experience. And I do think, Paul, from a purely political standpoint of building a party and building a political machine, I think Paul's approach of getting in – and, you know, building up the next generation as you move up the ranks, you know, you've got the next generation following behind, and getting more people involved is a key to long-term success.
I totally
Paul,
agree.
Were gonna say,
I totally ahead, agree with that.
Yeah. Paul, you were
totally
going to say something before, too. We don't have – Paul, you there?
Yes.
You were going to say something before, and we're running at the end here, so go ahead.
Well, we're up against the clock, and I just want to say that, Ken, I like the fact that we've got people that listen to your show that want to build from the bottom up. I completely agree with that approach. And interestingly, some of these smaller offices, they have perks that we don't know about, because why else would the two major parties make sure that one of their that they always have a candidate in these races. There's some kind of benefit there to be gained, not the least of which is when you become an elected official, at least in Kentucky, you do have a series of perks, and that by itself can open up doors that would otherwise be closed to you in a lot of different venues. So go for it, gang. Go for it. Hope you win, Dave.
Paul, thank you. Thank you very much, Paul, for joining. Dave, final thoughts.
Get out there and vote.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Dave, thank you very much, too. And I just want to reiterate what Dave said. If you're interested in the future of the state, I'd say it's more important at the state level than at the federal level even. If you're interested in the future, what directly affects you, and you have the ability to vote in these elections, if you happen to be registered Democrat or Republican, get informed and do it. You have a day and a half. Get it done. Get it done. Folks, thanks for tuning in to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. It's another one in the books, and we'll be back next week. Of course, listen to the other shows on the network Monday through Thursday, and thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.